Welcome to Gleaning and Gathering. I'm Eric Heimlich, your host, and today I've got a thought that I'd like to share with you. I've been thinking about delight. You know, there's a lot of things that bring delight to my heart. But one of the things that I enjoy each and every day is spending time with God. I hope that's something that you enjoy as well. But you know, I think for Christians, we all know that it's something we should enjoy, but it's not something that we necessarily do enjoy. And I know that for pastors and for people in ministry, it's particularly challenging because you're surrounded by sacred things. And if we're not careful, the sacred can begin to lose the wonder for us. Every time you go to Scripture, instead of really seeking to have your soul fed, you're looking for another sermon. I came across something that George Mueller wrote, and George Mueller's ministry, of course, was famous for his care of orphans and all the faith work that God did through him in providing in miraculous ways. But he wrote something that I think is incredibly helpful, and I want to share it with you today. He says, "According to my judgment, the most important point to be attended to is this. Above all things, see to it that your souls are happy in the Lord. Other things may press upon you. The Lord's work may even have urgent claims upon your attention, but I deliberately repeat, it is of supreme and paramount importance that you should seek above all things to have your souls truly happy in God Himself. Day by day, seek to make this the most important business of your life. The secret of all true effectual service is joy in the Lord, having experimental acquaintance and fellowship with God Himself." Mueller goes on to write, "Now in brotherly love and affection, I would give you a few hints to my younger fellow believers as to the way in which to keep your spiritual enjoyment. It is absolutely needful, in order that happiness in the Lord may continue, that the Scriptures be regularly read. These are God's appointed means for the nourishment of the inner man. Consider it and ponder over it. Especially, we should read regularly through the Scriptures, consecutively, and not pick out here and there a chapter. If we do, we shall remain spiritual dwarfs. I tell you so affectionately. For the first 4 years after my conversion, I made no progress because I neglected the Bible. But when I regularly read on through the whole with reference to my own heart and soul, I directly made progress. Then my peace and joy continued more and more. And now I have been doing this for 47 years. I have read through the whole Bible about 100 times, and I always find it fresh when I begin again. Thus my peace and joy have increased more and more. I saw that the most important thing I had to do was to give myself to the reading of the Word of God and to meditation on it. What is the food of the inner man?" he writes. "Not prayer, but the Word of God. And not simple reading of the Word of God so that it only passes through our minds just as water runs through a pipe, but considering what we read, pondering over it, and applying it to our hearts." His pattern was to read Scripture, to reflect on it, to meditate on it, and that would then lead him into prayer. And that in doing that, he was able to make his soul happy in the Lord, as he put it. He said, "When thus I have been for a while making confession or intercession or supplication, or have given thanks, I go on to the next words or verse, turning all as I go on into prayer for myself or others, as the word may lead to it, but still continually keeping before me that food for my own soul is the object of my meditation. The result of this is that there is always a good deal of confession, thanksgiving, supplication, or intercession mingled with my meditation, and that my inner man almost invariably is even sensibly nourished and strengthened, and that by breakfast time, with rare exceptions, I am in a peaceful, if not happy, state of heart. Thus also the Lord is pleased to communicate unto me that which, very soon after, I have found to become food for other believers. Though it was not for the sake of the public ministry of the word that I gave myself to meditation, but for the profit of my own inner man. You know, to really delight ourselves in God means that when we come to His Word, we truly believe that He's going to meet us there, and that we find in it what we need to truly fill our hearts, or as He put it there, to make confession, intercession, or supplication, or giving of thanks. You know, this past week, a couple different mornings, as I was up a little after 4 o'clock, walking to the prayer chapel here at Victory Acres and spending time with God there in His Word, there were a lot of pressures, a lot of things going on externally. But as I came from that place, praying the Psalms this week and just pouring out to God the words inspired by the Holy Spirit on those pages, my heart was strengthened. I know in talking with a lot of friends and others that have been involved in ministry or are involved in ministry, one of the challenges that we face as leaders is discouragement. There are so many problems, and not just our own problems, but the problems of others around us. Trying to deal with all that and keep our souls happy in the Lord is, I think, the biggest battle. You know, I think a lot of times leaders look invincible, and looking on, you may think, what is he discouraged about? What does he have to be discouraged about? He's got a perfect family. He's got a wonderful situation. He's doing great. I mean, why in the world would he be discouraged? But the reality is that none of us are invincible, and none of us are above feeling those feelings of discouragement. And whether it's little things like people's comments or their lack of appreciation or their thoughtlessness or just the daily grind of life or the schedule, when you get that call at midnight and you still have to be up the next morning early for the meeting that you committed to, a lot of times people don't understand, and they're not going to. And so the work for us as leaders is that we have to, as David did, encourage ourselves in the Lord. That we have to be able to grub out a spiritual meal for our own hearts. And as I spent time with God this past week in the prayer chapel, I just would come out of there feeling the burdens lifted. The challenges were still there. All of the same things that needed to be attended to hadn't changed, and yet my perspective on it was different. My daughter this week was telling me about an experience that she had had. She's an RA on the wing there at Hope Sound Bible College, where she lives in the dormitory. And she had taken some of the money that she had earned tutoring, and she had gone to the store and she had purchased items and put together a nice little party for her girls. And she was saying what a feeling it was for her to go and to spend money that she had earned caring for people that she loved. And she said, I just felt like an adult. And it was so fulfilling to hear. You know, what leaders do is they bear others' burdens. They are responsible for people beyond themselves. You know, everybody's had the experience of making money and spending money on yourself, but it's a different thing, and it's a different feeling entirely when you take responsibility for other people when you take on yourself the burdens that they bear and help to bear them as well. And scripture reminds us of that. It says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And what is the law of Christ? Jesus said, a new command I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That if I have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. It's serving. It's taking responsibility for. And so in order to really do that with delight and not to be overwhelmed, you have to have a well that you're drawing from that's deep. Otherwise, it's just not going to last very long. And so I want to encourage you, if you don't do this, to take time to pray the Psalms, to read scripture responsively, to meditate upon it, to journal it, to write it out, whatever it is that may help you to engage with scripture and not just to allow it pass through your mind like water through a pipe, as Mueller put it, but to really allow it to get down in to the crevices in your life and begin to make a change in you. I believe it's of paramount importance. And it's like a lot of things that we say is important. Like, yeah, of course. Of course it's important. Everybody knows it's important. We've all sang the song, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. But do we? The scary thing to me is that the higher you go up in leadership, the less and less people are willing to call you on anything. The fewer and fewer people who are really looking out for your soul. Who is it that walks up to Leonard Sankey and asks him, brother, how is it with your soul? Who is it that walks up to your pastor and asks him, how's your devotional life this week, brother? Have you made your soul happy in the Lord? Who's going to do that? I don't know very many people that would be willing to walk up to their leader and ask those questions. Are you really finding delight in God this week? But that's the heart of it, isn't it? And if we're not, we're on a very slippery slope. And we'll soon be in a very vulnerable, dangerous place. And the sad thing to me is that we've all watched those leaders catastrophically fail. You've seen it. And unfortunately, it's far too common. But do we care enough about each other to really ask those kinds of questions in a caring, loving sort of way? I believe that was the heart of Methodism. In early Methodism, the class meeting and the bands were absolutely essential to the formation of Christian character. And it was the difference between Whitfield and Wesley. Whitfield was a powerful preacher, maybe more powerful than Wesley. And yet, his converts were described as a rope of sand. The key to Methodism was the method. And that was the organization of the converts into these groups that then developed deep spiritual connection to God and to each other. There was accountability, and there was a sense of real belonging, and there were people that were holding your feet to the fire regularly and finding out if your soul was truly finding delight in God himself. In fact, as the early circuit writers went around, one of the questions that they would ask, in fact, the primary question, is how is it with your soul? You know, I think it's a great question. And it's a question that I think we should still be asking one another. And it's really the heart of the entire Christian life. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And is Christ living and working and changing you day by day? Are you being transformed into his image? And for people like George Mueller, that was each and every day. You know, my friend Tim Keep gives the illustration. He is planning to walk around the world by the time he's 70. And so he has a map and he's tracking his progress. But the way that he's doing that is every day getting up, rain or shine, whether he feels like it or not, and walking 4 miles. And in the Christian life, that's how it is. And there are times when it's sunshiny and it's beautiful and walking 4 miles is amazing. And then there are other mornings, you know, like that morning when it's the last thing you want to do. And yet getting up and doing your 4 miles is how you get to the goal. And I know that a lot of the Christian life really is just doing your 4 miles. It's continuing to do the right things, whether you feel like it or not. But I also know that duty is not enough. There has to be delight. I'm thankful for the ways that God has been teaching me. I'm thankful for the ways that He's been meeting me in prayer and in His Word. And what I'm endeavoring to do in our congregation is really just to pass on some of the truth that God is teaching me. But it starts for me with really making my soul happy in the Lord. Not just coming to Scripture for sermon prep, but truly delighting myself in Him. Those are some thoughts for today. I just want to encourage you today. Get into God's Word. Spend some time and find your fulfillment in Him. For Gleaning and Gathering, God bless.